We are still early, huh? Another 5 minutes to go, huh? So tonight I got a question, very good.
From Singapore.
Oh, from Singapore. Oh. This is like a inquiry into what is the meaning of consciousness, mindfulness. But he didn't include his word mind. He used awareness. So actually there are more to all this. But at least there is a question. Then there is condition for understanding. Maybe for those who are here, I read to you the question. Dhamma question by Mr. Tan, Frankie. Hi, Brother Suyan. I had this question. Hopefully you can help direct them to the brother who led the meditation session at your house. Buddha's teaching stress very much on the research into our own mind. I'm trying to understand how consciousness, mindfulness and awareness are related to or different from each other. What are the examples of sati as experienced in our daily life? Then the last part is example. Is my body clock, which helps me to wake up at a specific time without alarm clock, a form of sati? So these are the questions that I think he is interested in. But when you ask questions, you have to be very, very mindful. Because certain questions are for knowledge. If it's for knowledge, it will not help you much. It will not allow you to penetrate the Dhamma. But if the question comes from a deep inquiry that want to understand what are all this, then you put it to cultivation. Oh, then it's beautiful. It can bring about a lot of understanding. Anyway, I will deal with the question later. Anybody who have not taken the retreat notes, those who are going for the retreat you have not taken, you can come forward. Then you just write your name, then I will pass you the retreat notes. So today, 20th, Thursday. So this Saturday, the retreat will start officially. So those who are going for the retreat, remember to wake up early that day because you have to be at HAVA 7:30. So if you choose the second pickup point, you can come a little bit late, but you have to reach latest by 8 o'clock though. And you want to have breakfast, you have to be early. In vehicle. By now, I hope for those who have been here for quite a while, the essential Dhamma that I used to explain and relate during this session, they are all on the whiteboard. I hope by now you should be very familiar with them. It will help you to understand the meditation very quickly. Go. Okay, 8:30, we can start with the puja first. So, as usual, compose your mind. Develop the very strong faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Through clearly understanding how special and unique the Buddha is, he is the fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue. This is the Nixim. I give you 2 boxes. It can last you a month. So, Saddha, which is the faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, is very important. This is the first spiritual faculties of your mind. This will enable you to develop that very strong confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. In your daily life, it's just like your own self-confidence in yourself. When you have self-confidence, you become more composed, more calm, and you can do things much better compared to a person who has a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, and doubt. If you are doubtful, you are not sure, like exam, you got exam fear, worry, lack of confidence, you will never do well. But you have already developed the confidence in yourself because you know if you put in the hard work, if you study for it, you will do very well. And that confidence will arise when you already know that this exam is very important and I need to study hard, diligently, so that I am well prepared for the exam. And then that confidence will enable you to do very well in the exam. So to cultivate meditation is the same. You need spiritual faculties to enable you to develop this confidence to cultivate. First is to understand how special the Buddha and his teachings are. And from there, that confidence sets in. Then you are motivated. Then that confidence will drive you to have the second spiritual faculty, which is virya. Virya is the spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate. So when these two are developed, you will automatically cultivate the third one, because when virya is there, you will want to meditate, you want to train your mind, you will want to cultivate sati, mindfulness. That's why the third spiritual faculty will automatically and naturally come about through Saddha and Virya. So our puja is to develop this initial three spiritual faculty, and then it will help you a lot to understand the Buddha's teaching, to walk the path of Dhamma as taught by him, to understand what he teaches. And this is how you develop the training of the mind to have this spiritual faculty, leading to your ability to overcome the 5 mental hindrances, which are on the first left-hand side corner. These mental hindrances are the one that hinders your mind, prevent it from becoming peaceful, prevent it from becoming aware. This is the one that causes you to be heedless, cause your mind to be restless. That's why you look at the hindrance. Restlessness is number 4. Then the first 2 sensual desire, it will make you heedless. Then 3rd, sloth and torpor, make you lazy. And sleepy. Then number 5 is lack of confidence, doubt. So now, we will start our puja. So develop the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya. Then when you pay respect mindfully, it will develop the 3rd spiritual faculty of sati or mindfulness. Okay, we start now. Compose your mind. Develop the confidence, the saddha. Then we pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya macchapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, huh? Then we will start the session. A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Before we start, is there anybody who is going to the retreat who has still yet to collect the notes? You are going, you have not collected, you can come forward. Okay, to continue, just now I explained the significance of puja. So the first significant is to train your mind to develop the spiritual faculties, especially the first three, Sadha, Virya and Sati. The English equivalent is confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, the spiritual zeal or tenacity to walk this way, and third one is when you pay respect mindfully, you develop Sati or mindfulness. Then your mind become composed, quiet, peaceful and silent. Apart from this, there are also other benefits. That's why the Buddha teach very differently. A lot of these so-called puja or devotional practices that the Buddha teach or advise the monks and the lay people to do, they are actually very meaningful and very, very important. It's part of the training, part of the what they call condition to help you to walk this way easily, correctly and appropriately. The spiritual faculties are already so important. Without this spiritual faculty, your mind cannot walk the spiritual way or develop the spiritual understanding, because these are spiritual faculties as opposed to mental hindrances. They hinder you from walking this spiritual path, developing this spiritual understanding. That's why spiritual faculties are very important aspect of mind. Then apart from that, immediately after we start our puja, we develop what they call reverential salutation. We pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha with the faith, the confidence, and the virya. And this is a very meritorious action. It's one of the 10 meritorious actions. And the Buddha, being the fully enlightened one, the field of merit is immeasurable if you do it with understanding, sincerely, and with full confidence in him and his teaching. Then apart from that, you recite the salutation. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. This is to pay homage through an understanding of who the Buddha is. Namo means homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Because the Buddha has these three very unique qualities. The 9 great virtues, the first three is he is the blessed one, means he is blessed with wisdom and virtue, and he has perfected them. That's why he is the blessed one. Then he is the worthy one, worthy of respect, reverential salutation, then worthy of offering, gift, and hospitality. And the field of merits are immeasurable. That's why he is the arahant. Means he is the enlightened one. Not only enlightened, but fully enlightened. That's why worthy of respect. Then the third one, of course, is to remind us that he is the Sammasambuddha, which is the fully enlightened one. Not only enlightened, complete and perfect in enlightenment. So these are the important Dhamma. That when you understand your faith in him is immeasurable, then you pay respect with full confidence, with full mindfulness. And when you recite Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa with understanding from your heart, you chant the salutation, the field of merits is immeasurable, and the Saddha become very strong. That spiritual energy through virya you will start to draw. Then because of nature's law, when you have a lot of faith, you cultivate affinity with the Buddha. That's why the next thing you do is to take refuge. The Buddha reminds you to take refuge with the triple gem, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. That's why you chant 3 times. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Then dutiyampi, tatiyampi. All this is to reaffirm your faith, to reaffirm your confidence, so that you go for refuge. No other refuge, but only within the triple gem. Because apart from the triple gem, it's very difficult to find truth. Because when you encounter the triple gem, they will have the truth. The Buddha, being the full enlightened one, definitely has the understanding, has the truth. That's why all he teaches is called the Dhamma. So the Dhamma is the second triple gem. Without the Buddha, the Dhamma is also around. But it needs to be realized by the enlightened one. So whenever you take birth in whatever civilization, in whichever what they call world system, means anytime, any place, anywhere, when you arise through your rebirth or whatever, if you have taken this refuge with the triple gem, then any of this birth, if during that period there is any Buddha or the enlightened disciple of the Buddha or the teachings, you will have the condition to connect to them because of your refuge. So taking refuge is very important. Is to build this affinity with the Triple Gem. Then later on, the closing puja, he also teach you how to make aspiration. By the power of all these merits, you chant Ipmina Punyang Kamina Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yawa Nibbana Patiya. This one is Ipmina Punyang. Punyang is Punya, you know, your merits. By the power of these merits or merits that you have cultivated, may it arise the causes and conditions for you always to avoid the foolish and the heedless, so that you can only meet up, you will only meet up with the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. If you combine this with the refuge, it will steer you onto the path of Dhamma, so that your cultivation become very easy, more connected, and you will have less chance of deviation, unless through certain aspect of life you are so deluded and you have actually created a lot of what they call wrong view. Then you have caused at times schism to the Dhamma, abuse the Triple Gem, did all the foolish and heedless thing that can lead to severe repercussion. So all this can hinder you despite what you have done. So that's why you need to train your mind. Extremely important. Then after you take refuge, the next one the Buddha wants you to do is to renew your five precepts. These five precepts is the most important. It will prevent you from committing evil. To avoid evil, you need to keep to the moral precepts. Otherwise, each and every of these precepts, if you violate, it will lead to immorality. It will lead to negative karma. It will lead to suffering. So that's why the five precepts, you need to renew them and commit yourself so that you will always be mindful of them and never to violate and break them. When you do this, at least you are following the advice of the Buddha. The first advice, all evil you have to avoid. Following Dhammapada verse 183. Then the second advice is, whatever goodness or wholesomeness or virtue, you should cultivate them. This one you need to train your mind to develop the heedfulness. Initially, it's the mindfulness leading to the heedfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And then your thought process, your action, your speech, and the way you live your life, they will be in accordance. Right, no negativity. And that's how you can develop the wholesomeness and avoid all evil. Then after you renew your five precepts, you rejoice. That's why you say, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this is how even the pre-puja can bring for a lot of important understanding of the cultivation. So don't think meditation is just sitting, formal meditation, go retreat, attend meditation class, attend all the high-flung sutta class, or whatever, workshop and all things. If you cannot understand the significance of puja, which constitute your daily routine, actually you have not really cultivated, you have not really started your cultivation according to what the Buddha wants you to do. So the significance of puja, pre-puja, closing puja, and all the other subsequent puja that the Buddha actually taught, they are very important. So tonight I want to spend about 15 minutes to talk about this, is because these are very vital understanding. So every time we come, although we have our usual session, but if you don't see the importance of puja, And in developing a daily routine to develop the continuity of cultivation, it's very difficult for you to progress. Actually, according to the Buddha, if you want to become enlightened, it's very easy. You only need to train one quality of mind, sati, or mindfulness, leading to heedfulness, appamada. Then Dhammapada, verse 21, he said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you don't train your mind, if you continue to be heedless, then heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful are as if dead. Means spiritually, it's like you are dead. You don't have a spiritual life. You can be conscious of life, living the mundane life, but there is no spiritual life. You have a lot of materialistic life. And when you don't understand life, you don't have the Dhamma. You entangle yourself in life. That's why the first noble truth, reality, the noble truth of suffering, they will hit you. You will get yourself entangled and constantly develop the what they call delusion and foolishness to entangle your mind so that you have this suffering. You have a lot of what they call fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation and misery. Every time you encounter a situation and problem that you cannot understand and cannot resolve, then it triggers off a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. Then certain events can lead to sadness, deep, what they call fear, unhappiness, sorrow, lamentation, leading to all the misery, the suffering. Then depression is also very common. So even like the recent MH370, all those on board, their loved ones and all those people, it's not easy, understand, to accept this reality and not be afflicted. Unless you have the Dhamma, the understanding. So okay, with this, I will end the essential message. So now we will go on to the meditation. Since all of you are here before, and you know what meditation is, for those who already know how to meditate. Oh, you all are new. Completely new. Oh, okay. You have been here before. Okay, I will give you instruction for the benefit of two who are new. So I will off the light. Those who already know how to meditate, you straight away you can start. So I will maybe give you a revision. The first thing about meditation is to train your mind, understand not? Because without the mind being trained, it is heedless because of your delusion, because of the mental, the five mental hindrance. Without delusion, there is no mental hindrance. Without the spiritual faculty, there is this, what they call mental hindrance. So because you have not trained your mind to develop the spiritual faculty, that's why the hindrance are there. It makes you heedless. It hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. That's why you cannot meditate. So the first training is to train this mind. How do we train? We have to decondition this heedless thinking. So what I used to teach you all, which is inside the blue book, the transcript, make sure you read them, then you will know how to meditate. The best technique to decondition the heedless thinking is the mind sweeping method combined with metta. If you do that, I will give the instruction afterwards, then it will be very easy. Then after that is to train this mind so that it is mindful and fully aware. That is using an object of meditation. It can be any object that you are familiar with. But the best one is still what the Buddha recommended, anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Because this breathing is always with us. within the moment. So when you can just silence your mind and be aware of this brief breath, the in and out breath. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, you are aware. When you are aware without thought, you are within the moment. That's why there is clarity, there is peace, there is this piti leading to all the beautiful mind state. So all this will come when you train. And the instruction to train is very simple. After you have deconditioned your heedless thinking, when you're more peaceful, you can start by relaxing your body and mind, then aware, and just feel, don't think, your breathing. Means maintain awareness in front of your nostril to detect the breathing. Then the third point that you need to understand is you need to expect this mind to heedlessly wander off, understand? Because when you have not trained, it's heedless, it keeps on disappearing. Heedlessly lost in thought, wanders off. Your mindfulness is not developed, not trained. You got nothing to anchor it. So the anapanasati is the mindfulness of the in and out breath to anchor it. So every time this mind wanders off, don't panic. Just tell yourself, it's okay, I'm training. Then return the awareness back to the breathing. You keep on repeating this. Expect it to wander off even a million times, it's okay. Then bring it back. After a while, that training will stabilize. And then you will understand what the Buddha meant by anapanasati. Then after that, you can use it. Use that trained mind to develop the meditation. Okay, now I will off the light. So for those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. For those who are new and those who need instruction, you just listen. You just relax body and mind, just completely relax, allow things to be natural. Don't worry about anything. Tell the thought, I'm here to meditate. If whatever situation or issue that the mind wants you to attend to, you just talk to the mind. I will do it after the meditation. Then you will have this space to meditate. Then you make sure your posture is stable. Check your backbone. Make sure it's straight. Then breathe in, breathe out normally. Your hand, you can put on whatever posture you like. You can put one hand on top of the other. All those who are familiar with certain mudra, you can use it. All those who like to put it just side by side on your leg or what, you can do it too. The posture is not critical. Whatever posture that can allow you to relax the mind, silence the mind, to train this mind, is sufficient. Then after that, you close your eye. Maintain relaxed body and mind, because to develop the meditation, the body and the mind must harmonize. They must not be in conflict. So when the mind is peaceful, the body will be peaceful. When the mind is restless, it will develop stress, fear, worry, anxiety, and this will condition the body to have negative energy field that will lead to low immune system and suffering. So when you are confident and happy, it will reverse all this. That's why meditation will help you to recuperate, recover, to improve the energy level within your body and mind. When you are peaceful, silent, and just aware within, you are very calm, very mindful. There is no thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. There is just silence. There is just peace. Then this state, if you know how to train and maintain, it will develop into a very beautiful state. Then you can experience the calm mind, which is piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture or joy that will arise when the mind is peaceful, when the mind is just aware, without thought, without restlessness, without worry, fear, anxiety. The mind that is at ease, at peace, silent, still, beautiful. Then after that, you maintain awareness or attention at your forehead. You just feel, don't think, just feel. Like you feel your body hot or cold. You feel, just feel. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within your forehead, you just relax them silently, relax, relax and relax every part of it. Then you move the attention down to your eye muscle, do the same. Feel the ciliary muscle, the eye muscle, every strand of it. Then feel it soothingly relax. Then after that, you move your awareness or attention down to your facial muscle. Again, relax every strand of your facial muscle. Feel it soothingly relax. And when you can do it, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of happiness. Then you can actually become very peaceful. But for those who still find it difficult, you can combine with loving kindness or metta to actually bring about the relaxed mind. You can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a very, very beautiful or radiant smile. When you can smile, you have a lot of joy and happiness. The moment you are happy, but the moment you can arise that joy through that smile, that radiant smile, you will be peaceful. Your mind naturally relax. That's why the smiling face will have a very relaxed facial muscle. That's how naturally the relaxation can take place. Then you can start to radiate metta or loving kindness. Then you compose your mind with that radiant smile. You start to radiate. May I, you feel your body and mind, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, every aspect of it. When you can do that, there's a lot of positive energy. When you recite, may I feel with the awareness, your body and mind, be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within. So this is going to make you very different, very beautiful. This positive energy, this loving kindness or metta energy is going to be very good. So the byproduct of meditation is twofold. Initially, it will bring about the peace within, the calmness within. So when the peace and the calmness come, then you radiate metta, you develop the inner peace, leading to the inner well-being. Inner peace alone can bring about some form of well-being, but when you enhance it with metta, this well-being becomes very intensely enhanced. Then the positive energy will bring about the positive vibration within your body. And that calmness, that well-being that you felt within your entire body and mind will bring forth the positive energy for your immune system to become better or higher. And this can actually help you to recuperate from whatever sickness or disease or what they call negative state, born of negative energy field, like fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, and lamentation, all this, they will be reversed. Yeah? Then all your cells will like recuperate. Yeah? So inner peace leading to inner well-being is very important. Mm. Then you can continue to radiate this metta. May I, this body and mind of mine too, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. You have to feel that your body has got no more suffering. Physically and mentally, peaceful, with a lot of well-being within, no more suffering. Yeah. That is a very good mental state. Then you continue to radiate. May this mind of mine to be free of all negativity. May it to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Mm. So if you radiate this metta, you feel very good, very different. The inner peace leading to the inner well-being will bring about the condition for your body and mind to become very peaceful, very quiet, very tranquil, and very still. Mm. So this itself is very beautiful. Yeah? Then with the mind sweeping method, because you only feel and relax, you don't think. The deconditioning process has already taken place. Your heedless thinking all had already slowed down. Mm. Then if you want to help others, you can continue this metta by radiating it to your loved ones. Mm. May all my loved ones do be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your heart and radiate to them. You can visualize them smiling too if you want to. Mm-hmm. Then after that, you can also continue. May my loved ones do be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then after that, you can radiate this metta to all other beings within the vicinity of Subhangjaya, Sri Anami Fong's house, all Kayanamita, Dhamma friends, and all beings known and unknown, seen and unseen within this vicinity. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May there be love, and may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too. Then finally, you can radiate this loving kindness and metta to all beings throughout the entire planet, Mother Earth, solar system, our galaxy, then the entire universe. Then after that, you can come back to your facial muscle. By now, you should be more peaceful, more calm, and more relaxed. Then you move your attention to your neck. Feel, relax. Then do the same for your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder. Feel and relax every part of it. Then move your attention to your heart or chest area. This is a very important aspect within your body. This is where the seat of consciousness arises and passes away. This is where your heartbeat or your life force arises and passes away. You just silence your mind completely and relax every part of it and feel. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat. You just silence your mind and stay there if you can. For those who are new, if you can't, it's okay. You just feel like you feel your forehead, then relax every part. Then you move your attention to your stomach, feel and relax. Do the same for the abdomen, feel and relax every part. Then your leg, your buttock, feel and relax every part. Then you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method from your leg. You feel, then you relax. Don't think, just feel, aware, feel, relax. Do the same for your buttock. Aware, feel, relax every part. Your abdomen, same. Feel it, aware, then relax. Stomach, heart, shoulder, head, back to shoulder, neck, facial muscle, do the same. Then you move on to your eye muscle. Do the same, relax, feel, relax, silent. Move on to your forehead, do the same. Then after that, you can train your mind to develop a more stable mindfulness or sati. We are using anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath like I had described earlier on. Now you just silent everything, body and mind. Then like you feel your forehead, you feel your breathing. Maintain attention or awareness in front of your nostril. Then just allow your mind to feel the breathing, just like you feel your forehead, you feel your breath. Breathe in, breathe out naturally in a relaxed, calm and peaceful manner. Then, like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Every time this mind wanders off, you just bring it back. Continue to patiently train. Very soon, it will become peaceful. And when you can develop the awareness of this in and out breath consistently for quite a while, then you will come to realize that this mind, when it's aware, is without thought, is very peaceful, very calm, very serene. And then you will start to experience some of the jhanic factor, or what they call spiritual calmness. The first one being piti. Piti is a spiritual joy, spiritual rapture, or spiritual calmness that will come with the training of the mind in sati. When you are mindful, quiet, and peaceful, this piti will arise. And when piti arises, there is a lot of joy, spiritual peace and calmness. It will make you very, very much more calm and more peaceful. And that joy can transform later on into what they call sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state. And during that time, your body feels very good because the mind with that positive energy of piti and sukha will make your body feel very good. And you will like to meditate. So continue to train. Then as this anapanasati develops, your breath will become different. You will understand it. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in short, you are aware. Breathing out short, the mind is aware. Then breathing in long, the mind is aware. Breathing out long, the mind is aware. Then breathing in, calming the bodily formation, you will start to feel them when piti arises. Then every time you draw your breath, the body and the mind move as one. You feel very peaceful, very calming. Then the bodily formation starts to become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful. That's how your vibration become more and more subtle, more and more refined. Then as you continue to do all this, even the heartbeat, the vibration within your body, they all will start to become more and more quiet, more and more refined, more and more peaceful. Yeah. Then later on, if you continue to relax and silence your mind, your breathing and all the other vibration will become like very subtle, until you hardly can be aware of them. And during that time, don't panic or worry. Just continue to relax more and silence your mind. Then this mind will develop what they call pasati. Pasati is a tranquility state of mind. The mind becomes so quiet, so peaceful, so tranquil, and so still. That stillness of mind will lead to the silent mind, which is your true mind, without thought. So you can have that mind that is trained, and then you can use it to develop the meditation. That silent mind is the meditative mind. That silent mind is the one that is aware without thought. Then after a while, you will realize this mind, it can be aware by itself without the need of any object of meditation to hold it or to anchor it. Such a mind is beautiful. Such a mind is the meditative mind. Such a mind is already trained, already in sati. Then you can use it to meditate, use it to investigate, use it to be aware of anything you want to be aware of. Then wherever you locate this mind, the silent mind, it will be very sensitive. It will have a lot of clarity. It will develop a lot of understanding on its own. That's why this meditative mind will allow you to insight into phenomena, all of the characteristics of nature, impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. Then later on, it will allow you to be aware of your mental intention, of all the things that is happening within your form and mind. You will witness all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught within your own form and mind, especially the dependent origination, the Four Noble Truths, the five mental hindrances, the five spiritual faculty, the three yurts of greed, hatred, and delusion. And all those are the wholesome state. So all this, you will come to understand when that mind is trained. Then we have to use this type of mind that is trained within the formal meditation environment to come out into life and live life. And that is the ultimate meditation, which is meditation in daily life. Okay, with this, I will allow you all to continue your meditation. So, I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Then, for those who still want to continue to meditate, you can continue. For those who have had enough, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then, we can continue with our session 2, which is meditation reporting and Q&A. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Okay, like I have explained, we can now commence the second session, which is reporting of meditation, followed by question and answer. You can report your meditation, then ask me whatever question that you want to know with regards to either the meditation or the teaching, and also how to apply what you have learned to help you understand life, overcome all of your life problem and situation. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody wants to report their meditation first? Can you meditate? You want to ask question? Oh, how was it just now? Oh, you wrote a lot of notes. Good. It's good that you smile a lot. It means there is joy. Anybody? Again, have to ask Alan. Good, okay. You can use the mic, Alan. Just push it up. Yes, push it full to the top.
Brother Joe, just like to...
You go back a bit.
Just like to know, do we really need to close our eyes when we meditate?
Oh, okay. It's okay. You just go back a little bit too near the place. Never mind, it's okay, sir. It's okay. It's a very good question. That's why sometimes you're not sure you ask. We are different, people are different. Some, they are more used to closing their eyes because then you don't see anything. Means this visual consciousness will not distract you. Understand that? But there are some people, the moment they close their eyes, they become sleepy. So this type of people, you tell them to close their eyes, they feel funny. Then sometimes they will try the other way. Then there are people who, when their eyes are open, they can concentrate and focus. But they need to see something. Then only they can concentrate. So there is no hard and fast rule. It depends on your individual preference. Whatever that is most conducive to you, you use it. Although when I give the instruction, I always say close the eye, because most people are distracted by brightness, light and all those things. So when you are in a dark, calm, quiet and more peaceful environment, you got less distraction. But the disadvantage is it will make you feel sleepy. Because when you're off your light, the tendency is you want to sleep. So it depends. So that question depends on the individual. So there is no hard and fast rule. You can do whatever that is conducive and suitable for the individual. Okay. Anybody else got any question or maybe reporting? Reporting will be useful. At least you describe how you go through your meditation. Then you can let me develop the explanation for you. Anything that you experience, that you go through, if you're not sure, you don't quite understand, or you have some new experiences, then you can ask. Then I will bring you back to focus. Most of you all, when you start to do something, when you lose your focus, you don't understand what is it that you are doing, then you are caught in that doing. That's why a lot of people just do because there is instruction to do. Then you forgot the focus. So meditation is about understanding what you do, that will bring about better result. Otherwise, you may be actually become like trapped in that doing without understanding, thinking that that is meditation. Every time you do those things, you think you are meditating, but you don't remember the focus. The focus is initially is to train the mind to have mindfulness. And before you can even train, you need to know you have to develop the spiritual faculty. Then when you have already that understanding, that is very easy. Then you check, is your mind restless? Is it heedless? Why is it heedless? Why is it not peaceful? And then you reflect and contemplate the Dhamma. And then you realize, yes, most people are like that. You are not alone. In fact, 94% of the untrained mind is like that. So you realize the untrained mind think a lot, have a lot of restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, hindrance of mind, evil root. So what must you do? You must train the opposite five spiritual faculty. So when you are here, how much training have you done? Of course, the puja you have done. Then when it comes to formal meditation, did you develop the faith? Did you develop the saddha, virya? Then are you able to train? If you cannot train, means what? Means the habitual tendency of this heedless thinking born of the five mental hindrances is very strong. That's why it prevents you from becoming peaceful. So when it prevents you from becoming peaceful, means the first thing you need to do is to decondition this heedless thinking. That's why you have to come up with a skillful means or a technique to do that. That's why mind sweeping method is very important. Then metta is very important. Then train your mind to be silent, peaceful, quiet. More and more moment of silence, less and less moment of heedlessness and thinking. And that is meditation. So when you know your focus is this, whatever distraction that come, you always bring your mind back to focus. Means train this mind. If I need to train with the mind sweeping metta and metta, I train. Then after that, more skillful, if I need to train with anapanasati or any object of meditation that can anchor my mind and make it peaceful, silent and aware within, that is the correct technique. Then after that, when the mind is trained, you go into the meditation itself. So when you are focused and you understand that meditation got two parts. First is to train the mind to be aware. Then use this mind that is aware to cultivate. It becomes apamada, heedfulness. So the second training is, after this mind is trained, you have to use it to cultivate. The meditation is taught by the Buddha, which is basically the Noble Eightfold Path. And the Noble Eightfold Path includes the four foundations of mindfulness. And the end of the four foundations of mindfulness is under Dhammanupassana, the Four Noble Truths. That's why ultimately, all of meditation that don't lead you back to the Four Noble Truths or the Noble Eightfold Path is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this one has to be your focus so that you won't debate. Okay? Anybody wants to report meditation? Yes, very good. Pass the mic over. Thank you. Push it out. Yes.
Okay, relative. Yeah. Even what I felt just now was like very peaceful.
Yes, sound.
I feel my body was very light.
Relaxed. Very light. Yes. Very good.
First I can see lights here.
Very good. Nimitta, nimitta.
I was feeling my mother's love.
Oh, very good. Okay.
I was was very calm just now. I totally has nothing crossed my mind about my work.
Very good.
I just felt that just
that now, nice.
Is that the right way?
Good. Very good. A good question, huh? Sadhu to you, huh? It's a very good experience that you had. So this is what meditation is all about, huh? Previously, I think the family went through a tough time. We have heard before, huh? He is a familiar face, huh? But you can see in him tonight. He is so different. Even when I came in, the heart has so much joy now. There is this understanding inside that makes the heart different. That's why when he meditated just now, he felt this peace. He felt his body like very light, very quiet, very relaxed and very still, very silent. And there's a lot of good, what they call, energy inside, born of the peaceful mind, silent mind, mind that is mainly aware. That's why he said little or no thought. He didn't even think about the work. This is how when the mind does not have anything to bother him, to bother it, so that it can have the fear, worry, anxiety and the hindrance, then this mind becomes very peaceful. And this type of mind can come about because he has a lot of faith now compared to last time. Last time I remember a few months back, he asked that question about karma and all those things. Oh, at that time he cannot come to terms with it. He said, yes, karma. Because people tell him, karma lah. So he just accept, you know, for many months or what, he just accept, you know. But I say, law of karma is not like that. It's not say karma, then don't do anything or just accept. And say, my karma, what can I do? But then karma cannot be one after another. Not to say it cannot be, it can be. But you have to understand what is the real deep meaning of law of karma. The law of karma is very simple, like I explained to him that time and the rest of you. The Buddha said, each and every one of us, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So whatever that happened to you, yeah, in life, there are causes and conditions behind. You cannot blame anybody. It has to do with your past. Understand? But it doesn't mean that if that is your karma, then you accept it and you just allow it to be. And then that is not understanding the teaching. The teaching is to remind you that law of karma is very important. Understand not? And whatever that happened to your life, you cannot change what has already been conditioned from the past. Understand not? Means whatever that you already did in the past, you cannot change. Understand not? But moment to moment, you can make a big difference. Understand not? Because law of karma is like that. When there is condition, things arise. When there is no condition, even negative karma cannot arise. Understand not? So what is the meaning of condition? The mistake they make was because they were not told, not explained. So they become very unhappy, very sad. Then the mind conflicting type of understanding. Then everything is karma, karma. But there is nobody to explain further. The Dhamma is not like that. So later I explained to him, if you react to what happened, become afflicted, affected, and your mind don't have confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, there is no clarity, then you will continue to create fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, sadness, and all those things. And this thought keep on disturbing you. And this set the condition for negative karma to continue to arise. Then one after another, like non-stop, it will arise. It's just like a person who is affected by disease or whatever. In this case, you all know, first he himself, then the children, then later on, like whole family and all those things. And this is a typical case of very severe condition arising. But later on, when I explained to him that if you change your mindset, you change your condition, if you start to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, and to develop the wholesomeness of mind, to radiate metta, to radiate love, to train the mind to have the spiritual faculty, and then all this positive energy will start to bring about new condition, anasana, for your life to change, for the good karma to come back to you, anasana. Then when you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, when you have more of this understanding, when you radiate metta and develop the training of the mind and the meditation, then you do dana, you do generosity, then you help out, even taking care of your family, your children. That is great meritorious action, anasana. Then you invoke the power of these merits. That's why I say, first, ask for forgiveness for whatever happened from the distant past until now. If you don't ask for forgiveness, the karmic obstruction will obstruct you. And there is a lot of things you cannot clear, you cannot penetrate. The little thing you do, no use, release birth, donate here, donate there. It does not help. That's why during that time they were all caught, very severely caught. So what changes is the transformation that comes from the understanding that you change the condition for wholesomeness to arise, for the mind to be different. Then it will bring forth the good karma to come. That's why the good state of mind all can come. Then from there, this good state of mind, they have the spiritual faculty. When you develop the reverential salutation, when you chant the Namo Tassa salutation, then when you pay respect, and when you do all the wholesomeness and the goodness, the merit is totally different. Fantastic. Then when you invoke the power of merit, means make the appropriate aspiration for causes and conditions for your children to recover to good health, normal health, for your life to become better, you know. And all this can happen because it's the nature's law. You are invoking the power of merit, understand? So that's why it's a very good condition. That's how you can see the transformation. I don't need to say anything, understand? And I cannot claim any credit for, like, telling him the truth and enabling him to do. No, it's because he's past. He has this affinity, he has this condition. Well, in the past he helped people before, anasana. When people suffer, bring them to somebody who can develop the Dhamma understanding and help relieve people from suffering. So this life he met Sui An, then Mi Fong Tio, then SJBA of course. Then when the fate starts to set in, Dhamma starts to flow, understand? Then things start to transform and change. Then you see all this happening. And this training is very good because the mind can, from that few months back, which is full of suffering, turmoil and restlessness, doubt, uncertainty, a lot of hindrance, can just develop the ability to be so peaceful, so relaxed, and so full of faith, sadhā, virya, density. That's why spiritual faculty can change you, make you beautiful, make you totally different. So the question is this right meditation? It's a very, very heavy question. Right according to who? So right is definitely right. But right and wrong is relative. Right, because he has improved tremendously, anasana. He has bring about such great changes and transformation in his life, in his mind state, and his ability to comprehend the Dhamma. But when you talk about going seriously into meditation, then it's part of the way, anasana. Means you have not really fully gone into the focus. You have started the journey. You have developed good progress. So now it's not to continue to enjoy this type of peace and all those things. Like you say, when the mind settled down, you saw light. This light are very normal manifestation, and it points to a calm state of mind, good training of mind. So this light can appear in the form of vision, nimitta, anasana. And when this light appear, it's because your mind is peaceful and calm. And most of the time, the pity is there, the joy is there. Then when they arise, you can actually play with it if you want to. Just continue to relax and just be aware of this vision, this light or whatever. Then if you have done certain meditation from your past, somehow the mind will be able to lock into it, understand? The awareness will be able to lock into it. Then you see what happened. Then something will happen to all this nimitta and light. Different people will experience it differently. During the early day when I first had this, it's a type of violet light. Very beautiful violet light. And there is so much radiance inside. Then when my mind just awares, it just absorbs into it. Then after that, it starts to transform and change. Very, very fast it moves. Like they call effervescent. Very, very high speed. Then it starts to release that type of light. Like what you call a star, like that. Very Chinese New Year, when you burn the incense, they have this star, flashing a lot of star on her. What you call that? Yanhua. It's millions of times faster than that. You think that one very fast, then the whole thing just burn. But that one I saw was millions of times faster than that. So fast, effervescent. Then the nature understand what anicchang is because it was so fast. And the mind didn't have any thought, any concept, any idea. It just see things as they are. That's why after that, I come to understand what consciousness is, what mind is, what all this experience is. Then, of course, I played with it for a while because that time curious. It was something so beautiful, so nice to have. So much joy. Then every time it arises around my nostril there, like cotton like that, very soothing, very soft, then this nimitta starts. And every time I go into that, then later on, after a while, when my sati or anapanasati become very, very stable, refined, then all these things disappear. No more. That's why it comes in phases. Then it depends on the individual. Not necessarily everybody must have nimitta. Don't go and become so gullible. How come Brother Teo say must have nimitta? I don't have nimitta. So wrong meditation. No such thing. The focus of meditation is not to look for nimitta. Not to just develop the ability to be peaceful and calm. The peace, the inner peace and the inner well-being is good. But it is a byproduct of a trained mind, understand? It will come when the condition is there. So when it arises, experience it, understand it, understand? Feel it, use it. Then from there, whatever wisdom that can arise, use it, make use of it. And that is more important, to allow you to understand what they are. And you will see one very, very common characteristic. Whatever that is of the nature to arise, they are all conditioned arising with the condition behind. Then this condition is impermanent. It will change, it will transform, and it will finally cease to be. And finally, you have to come out of it. Life is like that. Everything is in a state of flux, continuously arising and passing away. Dependent origination. And all this you will insight into later on as you train your mind more and more, as you develop more and more mindfulness, sati. Yeah. That's why this retreat, for those who are going, make full use of it. A lot of things can happen within that 9 days, I tell you. For those who are sincere, full of faith, diligent, it will benefit you a lot. Because when you are up there, the condition can be very different. And you do it with understanding and sincerity, your mind transforms very fast. Even the very first day, you will become very different, I tell you. So, make full use of all this condition. Ah, yeah, Lily. Yes. Never mind, pass it on. For the recording, we may hear, but the recording don't receive. Very good, Lily. Repeat your question. Push it out all the way. Push it out all the way. Didn't push out. Yes. Never mind. The violet light. Yes.
Or do I stop it and continue with the metta?
Oh, okay.
But I was really doing good. Metta.
Yeah, I know. Very good. So your question is, that's why you must ask, you must report your meditation, you see. For Lily's case, it's very good, very different again, because she was just radiating metta. But as she radiated metta, may this body of mine, this body and mind of mine be well and happy. Well, so as he radiate this well-being and happiness, before he can even go to me, this body and mind of mine be free from all suffering, the violet light came and he called it the purple light. Purple is violet actually. That is the nimitta, it come. Then she asked, what must I do? Must I stop the metta and go and focus? It's up to you, Anasana. Because you have to develop your own understanding where you are unique, you are different. So initially, metta has bring forth the state of mind that can make you calm and peaceful. But when you read it, metta, these are loving kindness, just like just how our brother described. He felt what? Motherly love. That is a very powerful metta. The motherly love. Your love for a children, there is no selfishness, understand? There is no measurement there, understand? It's just love. And you are willing to sacrifice, understand? And that love will bring forth the good mind, the good state of mind. So when you read it, metta, sincerely with understanding, when you really mean well-being and happiness for yourself, your body and mind and others, that metta will make your mind and your heart very peaceful, very calm, very composed. That's why nimitta can arise. When it arises next time, it's up to you. If you want to stop the metta and just understand what it is, then see how it continues. Because when you stop radiating, you realize this nimitta initially will disappear. Because there is no more condition, you haven't stabilized it yet. But when you stabilize it, when you continue to radiate that type of metta, you can repeat that type of metta. Don't have to go on to, may this body of mind be free from all suffering. You don't have to go. You just radiate the well-being and happiness. And radiate the love for all beings, all of humanity, all of the environment, everything. Like universal love. Love has got no opposite. Understand not? Love has got no such thing as hate, unhappiness, dislike and all. Love is just love, understand? Love is the mind that has this love, that wish for the well-being and happiness of all. That's it. So when you can continue to invoke that type of metta, that type of energy, your nature will connect back to your past. if you have done this very, very often, then it will become very strong. And then that nimitta will become very strong. And you can develop it and find out yourself. But if you don't have the past cultivation, means this life you develop this new cultivation. And this can become your future. So whatever you do and train, if you do it very well, it will stay with you. Like those who are very talented in whatever they do, even music, games, badminton, meditation or what, you inherit them. Next life in future when you come, all this skill you can develop very fast, but you have trained before. That's why those who are already very good in their meditation, because past life they have done a lot of homework. They have trained very hard. That's why you say, wow, that guy is so lucky. Nothing to do with luck. It's because they did so much work in the past. So likewise, if you want to progress along the path of Dhamma, you have to put in a lot of diligence, hard work, sacrifice, training. So life is just the same. If you work towards success, you will be successful. Understand? If you are not sincere, you want everything like shortcut, yeah? Then you try to cheat, deceive, and do a lot of things through the illegal way or immoral way. Then the nature's law will hit back. Understand? Then there is no way you can free. You will get yourself more and more deep into the nature's law entanglement, and very difficult to come out of it. That's why you must have right view. Right view is very important. The Buddha's teaching, the three spiritual right views, these are the most powerful and most important. First one is law of karma. Yeah. Once you understand this law of karma, the right view with regards to it, you will know how to live. And you will know this is how the teachings of the Buddha, the advice, based on Dhammapada verse 183 comes about. Then after that, the second right view is Chitta Niyama. Chitta is mind. How your mind functions. How it operates. How it arises. How it is conditioned into negativity. And how it can be trained to develop the spiritual faculty to become so beautiful. So like the Buddha said, our mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. If we train it properly, it's beautiful. If we heedlessly do not train and allow it to be heedless, then suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hood. So all this you will come to understand, because there is this nature's law that describes the mind. So Chitta Niyama is nature's law with regards to the mind. So the mind follows a set of nature's law. If you train it well, it can manifest this thing. If you don't train and allow it to be heedless, it falls, then it can entangle itself and get into big trouble. That's what suffering is all about. That's why heedful living and heedless living is totally world apart. That's why the enlightened living and the heedless, deluded living is world apart. One lead to so much peace, joy, happiness, and meaning in life. The other one lead to so much confusion, so much suffering, so much misery, so much sorrow and lamentation, so much sadness, fear, worry, anxiety, and all things. So life is pretty easy, straightforward. Everybody know how to choose. Nobody would want to choose the later, the heedless one. The one that lead to all this misery and suffering. But the world is very funny, you know. It's like they don't know how to choose, so they end up doing the miserable one. Because they don't have the Dhamma. They don't have the teaching that tell them that this one is so beautiful, this one is so miserable. And you only need to do this, then this one will arise. Because they don't understand this. That's why without Dhamma, everything you do out of heedlessness and delusion will end up suffering. Yeah. It's just like a lot of the Dhamma friends I used to ask. Now you know the teaching. you hold the key to your own life destiny, isn't it? To be happy or to be unhappy or miserable is entirely your choice, isn't it? Correct or not? Huh? So now I ask you the same question. What must be your choice? You definitely want to choose to be happy, isn't it? But the question is, why are you not happy? Because you don't know how to realize it. Because you don't really serious about the Dhamma. You know, but you are not serious. You still prefer to be your usual old self. Yes. And you can laugh about it, but end of the day is what? It's just like I explained, a lot of human beings' problem is what? Like this example I used to give. Let's say this glass of water is very hot. The moment I hold, it will burn me and torment me. So what you do? You don't want to be burned and tormented. You put it down. Then relief. No more suffering. Then there is clarity. And then I can decide what I want to do in life. Means I see the danger of it burning me and tormenting me. But human beings' problem is they don't see this. Because it is mental. You cannot see. Let's say you're suffering. First noble truth reality. Old age, sickness, maybe death of a loved one, or separation, or whatever. Divorce, everything. Or business failure. Let's say you are hit. So it's like this hot thing. You are being burned, tormented. You suffer, so miserable. Then, if it's a physical thing, it's so easy. Burning me, tormenting me. You put it down. Then no more. But that one, you cannot put it down. No. Why? You say, this is my problem. No. I have to solve it. No. Oh, my wife don't want me. No. My husband don't want me. No. And I have this disease. No. What must I do? Oh, you go ask everyone. You worry about it. Worry about it means what? The mind holding on to it. So, how can you free? This is the one that burn you and torment you. Mentally. Physically. You suffer like anything. The fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, all this make you completely lost your life. Understand? Because you got no mood to do anything already. People tell you, hey, we go holiday. Forget about it. I must solve this problem. Let's say financial problem. Health problem and all this thing. Or your in-law problem. Son's, children's problem. You got no mood for anything. Your life is gone. Because you worry about this problem. Understand? You attach, you cling, you hold. To you, this is your problem. Correct, problem. But why must you hold? You can solve it without holding on to it. The problem is you don't understand the nature's law. You want to blame people. This guy, if he don't cheat me, I will not get into this. My husband, that one, you blame. Then what happened? Means you don't have the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment. Thing is already like that, happened already, like health problem. Why you want to fight the reality of life? This is first noble truth reality, hit already. If you can accept that reality and don't react, what happened to your mind? You become peaceful. When you don't react, means what? You don't blame. You don't get angry with people. You don't stir your mind anymore. You are at peace because you got right view. With regards to what? Law of karma. Maybe in the past I did this to people. Now condition arise. Happened to me. I become the victim. Then I do what I must do. Then I solve my problem. I become peaceful again. Life still continue. Terminal cancer. So what? If this is the reality, I accept this reality, then I move. I talk to the doctor. What are my options? I talk to my friends, those who have contact, who have people who have already recovered and pulled through. These are more tangible things. And when you do this, you don't have to have fear. worry, anxiety, your life can still move on. You are still beautiful. You can still live life. You can still be what you want to be. As beautiful as anything. Then the energy is so positive. Your immune system also will start to recover. But the delusion that causes you to worry and fear is the worst. Fear and worry is negative energy for you. It will lower your immune system and make you more and more sad and miserable. Because that fear lead to a lot of sadness, a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry. The mind becomes so restless, lack of peace. All the hindrances are there. No more spiritual faculty. So it's so easy. The Dhamma is there, but you don't know how to apply. You keep on saying, how can, man, I'm already so deep into this problem. You ask me to forget about this. You say, this is my problem. That's why they keep on holding mentally. That's why they keep on suffering. It burns and torments you continuously. It's like a red hot molten iron ball. Understand? And you keep on holding to it, complain, worry, and become fearful, sad. You don't have to do that. Understand? That's why I say, you don't know how to choose. You choose to entangle yourself and make yourself miserable. And you cannot see it because you are holding it mentally, not physically. Understand? And you don't know what is wrong thought. That's why I keep on one to teach you all to understand what is wrong thought. Noble Eightfold, everybody want to teach you right thought. And they say four things only. Loving kindness, which is metta. Then compassion, karuna. Then rejoicing, mudita, and upekkha. They say this is right thought. Can this help you? Can you cultivate this right thought? No point, isn't it? What I need to understand is what is a wrong thought, isn't it? So that I don't get into trouble, isn't it? Because I have to avoid all evil, isn't it? So what is wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your suffering, your misery, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, and your delusion. These are wrong thought. But then when you realize that these are wrong thought, means what? Whenever I am not happy, not peaceful, miserable, I am holding on to the wrong thought. Understand not? Means what? The thought that tell me that guy did that to me is a wrong thought. That I must solve this problem is also a wrong thought. Understand not? You can solve, but not by holding on. Yes, you got a question? Oh, very easy. That's why they must slowly cultivate the Dhamma. The question for the recording. Then how do you advise the family member who are affected? It's very easy. If you are the person who understand already, like Tuesday in Morris, you know what happened to him or not? Maybe there was not enough time handy to answer this question next day. I will repeat the Tuesday with Morrison. That is a very good book, very good. You see, what happened is, let's say you are the victim, then your loved one, your family members, all those family members who worry for you, they will have a lot of sadness because they are related to you, understand? So your suffering brings about so much suffering to your loved one, understand? So why can't you just understand, just like what I used to advise a lot of people, including one of my youngest brother, 30, 40 years ago. I say, if you just change for the better, understand how? And develop this understanding, one lead to hell, understand how? One lead to heaven, understand how? So beautiful. You don't know how to choose. Then he looked at me. He said, can't man? My brother, no, youngest one, asked me. Well, he was actually written off already. I just went back one Chinese New Year and I changed him completely. I said, do you know, because of you, we got 9 family members, brother and sister in the family. 8 of us very successful. My parents very happy. My mother used to tell me, is it? Except for the last one, is it? The youngest one. if he can just be like 10% of what you are, is it? They will be the happiest parent in this world. And my mother and father worry for him, no, because he was the youngest and too pampered. And he really created a whole mess of his own life. He was with the gangster, everything. And in the school, discipline teacher also whacked the fellow until chased out of the school, sent down to PJ. My father said, please help him to register another school. It's a real hardcore one. That's why there was one HJBA family couple who came with the children, say, also very rebellious. I said, your son is nothing compared to my brother. Oh, really? Then through the example I teach them, I told my brother, I say, so simple. He said, can I? I said, why cannot? We all brothers and sisters willing to help you. It's only your thought, negative. You think we look down upon you. You think you are useless in the eye of us. But you are our brother, you know? We love you, you know? But you avoid us because you have that wrong thought, thinking that everybody is against you, look down upon you, you are useless. And every new year come, take ang pao, disappear. And create a hell of his life. So I told him, there are so many options for you. You only have to tell me which option you choose. I say, first option, okay, you only have to give us the undertaking that you are willing to change and live a better life. The first option is very simple. I say, my elder brother got a business. You can go there and work for him and start your life again. Then maybe end up, you may have a girlfriend and get married. Then your life will be different. Then the other one is my father's family business, traditional Chinese medicine. You can go there and learn and train and become one of the partner. The third one is, if you don't like all this, you think brothers all cannot help you or you look down upon you, then we will give you capital. Not much, I say, very easy. Maximum 3 to 6 months. Alostar rental, one shop lot, 1,000, 2,005 maximum. Even 2,000, I say. 6 months, 12,000. Then we help you to set up a small business. You make sure you promise to look after the business and stay what they call sovereign. And then you are home. And then he choose the first one. Then he turn around. Then I say, when you turn around, father and mother will be the happiest person in this world. Then your relationship with society will be so different. People will respect you. People will say good things about you. And you know what happened? Finally, when he changed, turn around, my father and my mother, they got family friends next door. No? One of the family friends come and tell my mother, no, very close friend. No? He said, you don't worry one. Your son so naughty also can turn around. One, he say. So he said, you are very blessed one. See, this is how when you tell yourself, why must I keep to myself and become so unhappy, so miserable? Most of these who suffer become depressed. They lock themselves up and they don't want to see friends. They don't want to let people come near. Then they keep on telling themselves the wrong thought. Yeah. Even my brothers and sisters don't want to help me. My friend come and see me, but my own brother and sister there. And this one, I heard it from the victim themselves telling me. And some of them, many of them actually, after they turn around, they tell me what, brother, when I was in depression last time, no need to explain what they're suffering. They know it firsthand. Because they suffer so much. And now they are so happy, you know. Totally free, you know. And the first noble truth that hit them, now their life has turned around and become a blessing in disguise because they know the Dhamma. They are a lot happier than before the first noble truth hit them. See, it can be like that. That's why the Dhamma is very powerful. Understand? And it can be done. Okay? I have to answer this question. This one is a very important question because they wrote to Brother Suyan from Singapore. For those who later came in, I read again. This is Frankie Tan from Singapore, I was told. Hey, Brother Suyan, I have this question. Hopefully you can help direct them to Brother who led the meditation session at your house. Buddha's teaching stressed very much on the research into our mind. Actually, not research, investigate. You have to have Dhamma investigation. I am trying to understand how consciousness, mindfulness, and awareness are related to each other, or are they different from each other? Yeah, that is the first question. What are the examples of sati as experienced in our daily life? That is the second question. Example is my body clock, which helps me to wake up at a specific time without alarm clock, a form of sati. What do you think? The bodily clock. I also can do it when I was very young. I want to wake up 6 o'clock, exactly 6 o'clock. I will wake up. No problem. But there is nothing to do with sati. That is your mind make a determination. And the mind is very powerful. Sati, you have to understand what it is. Then all these questions is self-answered. Sati, sometimes they use the word mindfulness, awareness. They are English words used in modern days. The actual meaning of sati is very important. Like I every time explain to you, sati is awareness, just aware before the knowing. Before the knowing means what? Before the perception, before the words, the concept come about. When you see things as they are, without words and concept, that one is pure seeing. That one is sati, aware, just aware, before the knowing. And that is what sati is all about. That is what mindfulness is all about. But people cannot understand. That's why the question comes, understand? No? Is sati this bodily clock? Understand? No? Is sati that? Because they don't want to find out the definition. They don't want to understand it. But no amount of definition can make you understand until you do the cultivation. Until one day, the sati just arises within you. Until you realize what that sati is through your own cultivation. After your mind is trained when it's without thought and just aware before the knowing. And then you know what sati is. And there are no words can describe asana. So that's why in the retreat, you will have a lot of those opportunities. When you are quiet, peaceful and silent and most of the time aware, all of your action and movement, you are just silent. You flow and move with everything, every phenomena. That's why the moving car, the mind and the phenomena as one, no thought. And there is sati, understand? When you pay attention to something before the thought interfere, there is sati. But you have to live life in this world. That's why you have to arise the aggregate of mind to perceive. Then you must have wisdom not to react and all those things. That's why you must have the Dhamma to understand all this. Otherwise, you cannot live. Otherwise, the five aggregate of form and mind, especially Sankara and Vijnana, they are so powerful. They will continue to delude you and condition you into negativity so that you will get yourself entangled with life, so that you will grasp, cling and hold on to this so-called by aggregate of form and mind, the human being, thinking is real, thinking is you, thinking that there is a person living inside there. That's why you fear this body getting old, getting sick and die. You think you are inside. You think you are getting old, getting sick and die. You think there is a person who give birth to somebody and you have your loved one. Understand? And you create that attachment through that label, that words. Because you cannot develop the understanding through meditation to see things as they are clearly. What is this five aggregate of form and mind? They are not you. It's not a permanent unchanging entity or a person that you can call this is me, this is I. Therefore this can be mine. No such thing, the Buddha said. It's all non-self, anatta. But this form and mind is useful. We are karmically conditioned out for you to use. That's why it's part of your nature. Karmic nature. Asana. And when you are born with it, means this is like a vehicle and a tool for you to use to live life. So use it. Asana. Not to go and worry about it. Asana. And create all of the wrong view, wrong thought and delusion to arise the suffering and become miserable over it as well. When you use it, means what? Use it for wholesomeness, goodness, to arise the right view leading to the right thought, right speech, right action, to live the noble life, the happy life, and the sadhana, the life that is full of joy, meaning, and the sadhana, no negativity. So all your loved ones will be very happy. They will not have to worry for you because you are never sad, and the sadhana. And you are so beautiful, and the sadhana, so full of love, so full of genuine sincerity, so full of respect, gratitude, honesty, sincerity, kindness, gentleness, goodness. And you are so generous, and you are so understanding, so caring. So a person with this type of personality, with the Noble Eightfold Path Dhamma, is so beautiful, and all your loved ones will be very happy, understand? We are even in the eye of death. You got no more fear. Even when this body gets sick, get old, pending death, there is no more fear. There is still joy. Life still move on as usual. And there is this understanding to accept this reality and move. Understand? And this is what life is all about. This is what Dhamma is all about. But this is not you. Understand? So when you understand that there is he no you, he no me, your understanding of life totally transform. So now we come back to the first part of the question. So the example of sati I have explained. Even when you observe something like moving car, or nature's phenomena like the weather, the wind, the rain, the storm, or the flow of nature, like the trees, the branches, everything. But without words one, your mind is one with that phenomena. That is sati, asana. When your mind is one with your bodily posture, and that is sati, that is kaya nupasana. When your mind or your awareness is with your feeling, that is vedana nupasana. When your mind is with your, what they call sankhara, or content of consciousness, and that is citta nupasana. Yeah. When your mind is with dhamma, asana, the three characteristics, the five mental faculty, the seven factors of enlightenment, the four noble truths, and how the sense bases upon contact consciousness come to be ours. These are Dhamma Nupassana. That's why your mind can anchor that sati or mindfulness to any of these four foundations. And these are daily life meditation. That's why the real understanding of satipatthana is not what you think. Not what the world think, not what the book write, understand? It's totally different. But when you cultivate, you will understand. So coming back to the first question, he said, I'm trying to understand how consciousness, mindfulness, and awareness are related. Or are they different? Yes, they are different, but they are related. Understand? What is consciousness? I already given you all the physics experiment, isn't it? Battery, bulb, and the switch. Nature's law, isn't it? When the battery is in order, the bulb is functioning. When the switch is on, the current flow. Understand? Then the light bulb lights up. The lighting up is like you become conscious. Understand? The light bulb is like your organ. Understand? Like your eye. E-Y-E. Eye. Then the battery is like your mind. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. Means the seeing consciousness come to be. So initially it's just conscious, understand? That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. It's just the consciousness before you input the content, understand? This is pure consciousness. And pure consciousness, you can arise the pure perception and the awareness. When you see things as they are, before the word and the concept and the labeling, that is the pure awareness. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. You're just that consciousness. No one to see it. Understand? That is sati. Understand? But the moment you arise and input the content through your wrong view, sakaya ditti, then you label it as something through the words and the concept. Then you say, I see. Understand? You deludedly think there is a person who sees. then this person associates with that seeing. Then with your memory, with your views, your conditioning, you see according to this, not according to reality. That's why you don't see things as they are. You see things according to your conditioning, your views and your opinion. And what happened? Your views and your opinion, you have your like and dislike, and asana. Your pleasant and unpleasant sense. That's how the hindrance come to be, and asana. Sensual desire and ill will. That's why you react to everything you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel and think. Because of wrong view, sakaya aditi. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot accept the reality of the moment. You want things your way, and asana. When you are hit with the First Noble Truth reality, you cannot accept them. Because you think other people can get sick, get old and die, but not you and your loved one. Asana. That's why you become miserable. You think this is you. That is sakaya aditi. Anasana. So we don't have time. I exceeded 5 minutes. So I will stop here. So maybe after the retreat, next Thursday, no class. So I hope you can cultivate on your own and develop more faith in the Buddha and his teaching and develop the understanding of life so that you can make a big difference to your life. So I wish you all well. May the blessing of the Triple Gem be always with you all. So we conclude. I rejoice. Sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer merits, then you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akka satta ca bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva Chirang Rakan to Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to a departed relative and all those who can receive them. And may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatkalina sasa sampati hetu ca vito bhavat loko ca raja bhavat dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout, and may the world be prosperous and peaceful always. And may the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Now you invoke the aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect, mindful, the Lord Buddha. Then we end.